Have you ever heard this saying, church? Let sleeping dog lie, or don't poke the bear. Perhaps you've heard leave well enough alone. Where's the line between avoiding trouble and stirring up trouble? Or perhaps if it's not just stirring up trouble, standing in integrity and doing what you're supposed to do. That's the line of today's text that we're going to deal with. I'm doing this a little bit early because next week I want to get back into the Gospel of John so we can close that out. I'm already studying for the book of Romans as we go. This week, though, letting sleeping dogs lie. What does the Bible have to say about that? What does the Christmas story have to teach us? Okay, so this morning we're in Matthew 2, 1 through 12. That's the visit of the wise men, or the magi, as they're called. Anyway, here, let's read the story. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where was the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea. This is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time of when the star had first appeared. And then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. Did you get that? And the star they had seen in the east had guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The story of the wise men has this sort of fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me feeling to it when I read it about this. You know, they start out, these wise men, they come to the land and they're looking for a king. So they come to palaces. That's what you would do. They start out following the rules. They submit. They ask permission. They go through the proper channels. They ask Herod if, you know, where's this king? And then he goes and does this thing, and it's a big to-do. He asks everybody, and they're all disturbed and everything, that the king was born, and they didn't know anything about it. But it doesn't take too much faith or rereading. I'm really glad that God warned them in the dream to do this, but you'd like to say that they're not naive. They know that if they've come from so far and they're asking about a king and they come to the palace and there's no babies and no infants and no toddlers and there's no little kids running around in the palace and they don't know anything about kids in the palace, that's probably not the best situation because of the way the world is. Where's the king that was born that we've come to worship him? And you come into a palace that doesn't have any kids and no royal heir. That's a bad spot for everybody. So not trusting Herod is one thing. part of the Christian life here that we have, that I know the most difficult thing is to let people be who they are. We spend a lot of time talking to people and asking them specifically, or talking about whether we trust people that we don't know, or whether we don't trust people we don't know. And there's both those viewpoints that says, well, I don't trust anybody until I know them and know them to be trustworthy, and then I never get taken. And then the alternate viewpoint is that I prefer to trust people and until I get taken, and then I know better and all that. But as we deal with this in our Christian walk, you and I both know the hardest lesson there is to be learned is to let people be who they are and to trust them to be who they are, not to be who you want them to be. Do any of you know somebody who's not quite what you want them to be, but they've never ever been who you want them to be in your life? They've never been trustworthy. They've never done this thing. Any of you got somebody like that in your life? I do. I've got somebody I've been trying to trust into trustworthiness because I can't separate myself from them in the way that I would choose to do if it were all just up to me. And so I try to trust them, and I try to, I try to think over replies that I give them and try to help them into a spot where they can see that I'm giving them trust. And then when they break the trust, I try to say something about that and all this. But Herod is this other thing, right? Herod is a king. And if these wise men, as the story says, were royal astrologers or the technocrats of the ancient world, the ones who read the signs and did the things that the king did and interpreted the wills of the god for kings, they're used to dealing with kings, and it wouldn't take them very long to read a king's reaction. Anyway, but here we are back into what Acts 4 talks about, this tension that we have in the story that I've got is, do you let sleeping dogs lie? The origin of that is that if you startle a dog who's sleeping, you might get bit. Or if you poke a bear that's sleeping, it's not going to harm you until you do this. Or do you just leave well enough alone? How do you know this thing? So here's a story from Acts 4, 13 to 21. Let me read you. It's the other side of the story. This is after some healing had been done, and Peter and John were in front of the Pharisees. And so here it is. When the Pharisees, or the leaders of the community, or the Sanhedrin, had called and questioned Peter and John, in front of them, they realized, they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they marveled and took note that these men had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had healed standing there with them, they had nothing to say in response to the healing. So they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What shall we do with these men? They asked. It's clear to everyone living in Jerusalem that a remarkable miracle has occurred through them, and we cannot deny it. But to keep this message from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in this name. That's Jesus' name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And after further threats, they let them go. They could not find a way to punish them because all the people were glorifying God for what they had done. For the man who has miraculously healed was over 40 years old from blindness. Anyway, how do we do this? We tell a story. Do we just let things go easily into the good night and we let sleeping dogs lie? Or where's the spot where we stand and do this, that the Bible has this thing where it's sort of showing the wise men not sort of telling Herod where the baby is. By the way, Herod isn't fooled by this either, and all the kids in the area are reportedly killed. But the wise men are not responsible for that. That's on Herod. Now, if they'd gone back and done that, you know, some ministries are kind of like this. We've got leadership ourselves that are difficult. This is the question for us. Where's the line in your life, like the line for the wise men, that says, where's the line between we're just going to ignore them, asking for permission is useless, or I need to poke the bear enough to say, I need to speak and witness about what I've seen and heard. I need to have a life, I need to speak of my life change, and you need to judge for yourself what's right in God's sight. Joshua 24 has some of this in it as well, when it says, 24:14-16 is where I'm at. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Cast aside the gods of your fathers that you served beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if it is unpleasing in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is this question. I know that we don't serve idols in our day like this, but there's a spot where we have to be disobedient, or we have to just follow the leaders, or we have to stand against them. Finding that line is really hard work, but I'm just trying to talk us through learning from these wise people. How do you get some things done? How do you get things done? Well, you let some sleeping dogs lie, because sometimes if you poke the bear long enough, you don't get to do anything, because all you get to do is deal with the bear. That's what Jesus is talking about also when he starts talking about whose face is on the coin for taxes. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? Should we pay taxes? Should we obey the government? Whose face is on the money? Caesar. Then you should pay your taxes to Caesar, because he's made the money that you live with and use day to day. But render to God what is God's, or in other words, everything with his image on it, you should give to him. That's you and me. So what do we do? How do we put aside this desire to go along and get along, or just not to stand up, or to stand up and not go along and get along, and serve the Lord, to follow him and proclaim God? I go back to the Matthew text. When it was time to leave, this is verse 12, the wise men, they returned to their own country by another route. They went a different way, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Where is the line in your life where you know you're facing a shot, where you have to go a different way than the leader who's telling you to go along and get along, or just to do this thing, or maybe you've got a boss who's untrustworthy or something like that? Where would you like that line to be? Is there a sleeping dog you need to let lie? Or is there a sleeping dog you need to get away from and not have in your house? I mean, if it's bad enough dog, maybe it needs to be put down. Do you have something like this in your life that you're going, I need to quit doing this? Every time I put my hand down there near that dog, it bites. Is there somebody that you need to get away from, Whereas Acts 4, 21 says, 20 says, judge for yourself whether it's right in God's sight to listen to you, the Sanhedrin, rather than to God. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Where is the line in your life? As we're in this little gap between Christmas and New Year, where we've just worked on paying such attention to the birth of Christ and all that, what can we learn from the wisdom of the Bible in this thing, in this time for us? The homework for today is, what should you do in these situations? How should you live? Who should you obey? Where is God leading you to choose to a path that just allows you to go a different way than the sleeping dog, the sleeping bear in your life? And how will you enter into 2021 serving God, following God, and proclaiming God as the Lord of your life, because you've seen and heard and learned great things? For we as a church cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. Tough sermon, tough day, as we go off and think about that. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask specifically that you would be with us and that you would strengthen us for the days ahead, because I know somewhere in this next year, we're going to face this as a church. It's gonna have to break loose at some point in time. And the place where we stop letting sleeping dogs lie, or the place that we go a different route, we ask for wisdom and discernment. We ask for wisdom and discernment on how we might do that. We also ask, Lord, how we might do that in our personal lives as well. In your precious name, Lord, amen.